You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 15th, 2015. If there's one thing that makes taxes seem less stressful, it's Bloodborne.
That's true.
Pay your taxes in blood.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name's Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a conversation we have all the time, every week, about video
every
games.
Every day.
Every day. It's a nightmare that never ends. Wake me up, please.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. If you're a first-time listener, iTunes and Stitcher, you can find us. Mm-hmm. Leave us some reviews. That's always nice. We're also on YouTube. All these plugs we say at the end, but every now and then,
yeah.
Why not at the beginning? Today on the podcast, we have a debrief of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing these part one, part two, part three, four, five debriefs of Earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because those games are just so rich. There's a lot to talk about. Scott and I are playing another rich game.
So rich.
Rich, like just a deep, dark blood. That game is Bloodborne,
mm-hmm.
So we thought we would spend some time to talk a little bit about our early experiences. We're not very far into the game,
yeah.
We should say.
Yeah.
But I do think it's actually worth talking about because it's one of those weird social experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bloodborne is happening right now. This is the Game of Thrones of the people who are video game tryhards,
yeah,
like ourselves.
That's true, actually,
right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a good conversation to have. I played a little bit of Dark Souls, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You played Demon Souls.
I played Demon Souls, right.
Which
and
is
then
more of the spiritual predecessor to Bloodborne, as I understand.
Yeah, I think, what's his name again?
Miyazaki, right?
I think
it's Miyamoto.
It's Dark. It's like Dark Link.
It's Nega Miyamoto. Yeah.
So I think he worked on, for sure, Demon Souls, and also maybe Dark Souls 1, but not Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, the whole naming convention is weird. This is very clearly a Demon Souls game.
I spent a lot of time with Demon Souls, though.
The way that you describe it, though, is like a war experience.
I mean, it was like,
I was there.
It made me what I am, but that doesn't mean I'm thankful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You were forged in its,
yeah,
in its cold flame.
Exactly. There's a reason why I name many of my in-game video game characters, if I have to choose a name, including the Souls characters. I name them Kiln.
Why is that?
Because it's like you're forging something.
Oh, that's, you know, a good one. Yeah.
And it's a pretty good fantasy name.
Kiln is a good fantasy name. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I'm going to take that name now. So, we're going to spoil up to, I don't know how to sort of,
well, let's just say where we're at.
Okay, so we are at,
okay, hold on. Let's say one thing first. Usually, we talk about the story,
yes,
for a while, but the story is just ridiculous.
That being said, I think, yeah, there's things to talk about story-wise. Yeah,
but mostly, Bloodborne is a game about playing and experiencing the mechanics.
Yes.
So we're probably just going to jump right into various areas. I will tell you where I'm at right now. I am in the forest.
You are in the woods. Okay, so you must have beat the boss that we tried fighting.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah.
Fancy Scott.
I'm in the forest. There's a lot of snakes around. Have you been there
no,
yet?
No. So
okay.
I have not. So
right.
Scott and I did some co-op,
yeah,
which we'll talk about. But yeah. I am still in Cathedral Ward.
Okay.
And I have yet to beat some weird nun lady who turns into a giant werewolf.
Yeah, it's like Agatha or something like that.
Yeah.
It's something with an A. I'll have to look it up when we're talking.
Amelia, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, essentially that is like the first zone.
Yeah, first couple zones. Because
yeah,
there's also Old Yharnam and Central Yharnam.
But I'm zoning it based on my knowledge of how these games work. And each of the levels is discrete in that it is a specific headstone to get to them.
Oh.
When you move on, it will be a different headstone. And that's the same way that it worked in Demon's Souls.
Like, oh, that's what all those headstones are.
Exactly.
Okay.
The world itself is contiguous, but if you want to warp from zone to zone, you have to use the different headstones.
I was wondering about,
yeah,
that, because the messengers that send you, like, there's a lot of limited space on,
yeah,
that list.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. So,
okay, cool.
So, I mean, if you wanna break it up, we have almost exhausted the first zone,
yes,
which is basically like what everyone has seen in the previews, which is the kind of like weird gothic almost like 19th century England looking mm-hmm. place, kind of like dark Dickensian land. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's basically where we're at. And we've done, I don't know, 1/5 of a chalice dungeon or something.
Yes.
I don't know how many, levels it's going to be, whatever. Yeah.
So that's where we're at. A long time ago, I described Dark Souls as a game that's kind of like chopping off your own arm in the sort of like, you think you can't do it, but you can do it kind of experience. Mm-hmm. I think I could safely say that that's probably still true of Bloodborne.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I would say. I am not the type of person to sort of wholly embrace the super difficult aspect of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but at least from my experience, this actually doesn't seem as hard as Dark Souls first did. And yeah. I don't know if that's because I've grown as a human being. Like, I'm a better person than I was back in the day, and I'm a little bit more patient. But when I was first playing Bloodborne, I was so scared, right? Because there's all of this, pre-built assumptions about this is the hardest series of ever in video games. But I think that this game actually is really, really rewarding of patience so far. I might still throw myself off a bridge at some point, but the point being is I think that at this point I feel pretty comfortable in Bloodborne.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't really have any Dark Souls experience, but my understanding of it is that each of these games gets a little bit more approachable.
Only a little, though. It's still not a super approachable game.
I mean, Demon's Souls was bad. Like, you could not use magic unless you had a wand equipped in one of your hands.
Well, I mean, come on. Classic Harry Potter lore.
Yeah, and I mean, if you put that away, there goes your spells. And also, I didn't spec as a magic user, so I had to spend approximately 30 hours learning how to use magic.
I hope that's not true here, because I have not put in any points into Arcane.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to affect how good your counter, your...
My parry.
Yeah. Which is... now, for me, I was kind of the same way. I was neglecting it, and now I'm realizing that my gun isn't strong enough to counter some of these people.
Yeah, so I noticed that too. So in the game, you do not have a shield, unlike previous Souls, and you use a gun to interrupt while they're in mid-attack, and allows you to open them up for a visceral attack.
Yeah.
I also just realized this today, but if your gun isn't powerful enough, it doesn't matter when you time your shot, you will not stagger them.
Yep.
That's so
bad.
That is bad. That is very bad, especially when you're fighting a boss that you really need to stagger them in order to actually, accomplish any sort of significant damage to them. My gun is not nearly good enough for that.
Mm.
I'm at the point now where I'm thinking maybe I need to farm and buy the repeating pistol, or maybe I really do need to invest into Blood Tinge, which affects the damage that your weapons do.
Yeah.
Conversely, I've found a lot of success in just dodging attacks and then getting in a lot of attacks. Yeah. I've invested, at this point, I'm sort of min-maxing a lot of strength. My strength is at 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a gem on my weapon that increases blunt damage by 8-something%. So I do a crap ton of damage.
So if you hit, you hit hard.
Right.
So but if you don't, you're exposed.
I'm proper fucked. Yeah. Yes. So what I found myself doing is knocking them or provoking them to do an attack against me, especially the large enemies that sort of have really long animations, dodging out of the way and then just doing a wham bam thank you ma'am, if you will, with the Kirk hammer.
The Kirk Hamilton hammer.
The Kirk Hamilton hammer.
I think I am a bit, I'm taking a different tact. Your strength is 25, mine's 16 or 17 or something like that.
But you're investing in the skill tree, right?
Yeah,
so you've got more of the flashy quick weaponry.
Yeah, I'm using the cane.
So what is your skill at right now?
17 or something.
Fucking coward. What is your vitality at?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't know how leveled I am compared to... I mean, I feel like my overall level is probably in the low 30s or something.
Yeah, I'm in the same way. Yeah.
The
thing is, all I've invested in literally is vitality and strength. That's it. That's absolutely it. Well, maybe a few points in endurance.
Yeah. But. I mean, for me, it's all about the endurance is the one that governs your green meter, right?
Yes, the ability to roll.
I put a lot in there.
Attack,
But I'm also playing, I'm switching weapons more often than I did in the other games. I switch between the saw and the cane a lot, depending on who I'm fighting. But yeah, I mean, so like starting from the very beginning, do you remember what class you chose?
I think I chose veteran because I already made the decision to like min-max the shit out of it.
Okay.
I think it was like veteran soldier or something like that.
Okay. I chose cruel fate. And it was like...
Which is like, isn't that the harder one? I mean, you start at a lower level, you don't have as many...
Maybe. I also did this to myself in Demon's Souls, because I just like the idea of it. And then I made this guy who looked like he was just pissed off at the world. Like, he's probably lived here for a long time, yeah, yeah. And like, he's just angry with everything.
Man, that character creation stuff, by the way, so robust.
And also pointless. Like, it's you can't see like, anything. Like,
you're lucky if you can see your eyes.
Those, yeah, you put on some hoods and all you see is the eyes. It's just like, a little peeking out. Like,
there was I saw this great image online where you get covered in blood constantly in the game. And they took their helmet off, and it's like they had, like, a bandito mask of blood along their eyes. Great.
So I took, I think I took more of a skill-based, like, stat skill-based person. And so I was like, I'm not really going to invest too much in strength. And I also then took the cane, which I realized was a skill-focused stat rather than a power-focused stat. Mm. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to play this game pretty nimble. So, like, I've been putting a lot of into the skill-based stat, putting a lot into the dodging, and then just trying to understand the actual... Like, I felt like I played so much of Demon's Souls behind a shield, and they took that away in this game, which is actually pretty interesting. Yeah. Like, for people like me, it's almost as if they're making a comment on, like, we know a lot of people probably hid behind a shield for the last three games.
Like, you were a coward.
So we're just going to take the shield away.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but they also bolster that with, like, one of the most fascinating mechanics in the game, which is the... I don't even know what they call it. The once you get hit, you don't actually retain the damage until a few seconds later.
Right.
And if you hit people back before the damage has been set, you regain that health.
Yeah, not all of it. Some of it.
Most of it.
Yeah,
I mean, you can
a lot
get
of
hit,
it, yeah.
And, like, you can basically take some hits, and unless the enemy hits you again, it doesn't lower the meter.
Right.
So you can bring it back up. Anyway... It's this dynamic that incents you to be aggressive when you are being hit.
Exactly.
Instead of running away.
Yep.
Which is the most fascinating thing, not only just in video games in general, because usually it's like, if you're getting hit, you should probably dodge.
Right.
But in this game specifically, if you're getting hit, you probably should dodge, because you probably are only going to get hit two or three times before you're dead.
Yes.
Unless... you can immediately counterattack, get your life back, and then dodge.
Exactly right,
it's
yeah.
It's fascinating. And it's great.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Yeah. And so much of it is like, okay, you fought this thing how many times? What is its attack animation?
Yeah.
Sometimes they mix it up.
Yep.
Like, an enemy that will normally, you know, stomp down with a cane or something, now whacks you three times.
Yeah.
So you could go for the slash to get that health back if it hits you, but what if they're swinging three times and all of a sudden you've taken all those hits?
Yep.
At that point, are you going to risk it now?
Yeah.
What if you miss? What if they attack you again and you just straight up die now?
Yep.
There are a lot of moments where I will back out of combat and go, fuck, I should have stayed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm still trying to break the muscle memory of getting hit. I immediately press circle to roll, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's Demon's Souls logic.
Yes.
Like, Bloodborne logic should be, I should immediately counterattack.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of moments, too, that I had to break early in the game, even in terms of where I'm rolling. Like, I was always rolling away from combat.
Mm.
Now, most of the time, I roll forward. Because I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go around you, or I'm going to go right up next to you, and I'll attack you.
Yeah.
And it's weird to be that sort of aggressive against the enemies. But then conversely, you know, there are times when it's like, okay, I'm ready, I'm gonna take this guy out, and I don't see the third guy coming from behind. Like, oh shit, I just rolled into that?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's one of the main reasons why I've been sticking with the whip, because I was like, okay, video game logic. I'm gonna be fighting a lot of werewolves and a lot of weird kind of Eastern European demonic monsters. If I know anything about video games, I know Simon Belmont would want me to have a whip. I'm going to get a whip. And, like, the whip has been great, because there are many times where there's
thinking of you, Belmont,
freaking werewolf or something, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to keep this person away from me. And the whip is super long.
Like the range is a lot.
Yeah, longer than a spear, like, definitely. And also wider than a spear. Yeah. Like, you can fling the whip left to right and hit three guys horizontally. Mm. And so I've just been kind of, like, keeping people at bay while I figure out what to do.
That's with your basic attack, and not your strong attack.
Both. Yeah, both basic and strong are, like, I can do a huge strong attack and then follow it up quickly with a flick back to, like, keep people off of me.
Yeah, so my first weapon was the hand axe, which doesn't have that except for in its trick mode, where it's extra long and you charge it up.
Yeah.
Then it does some range. That was great. But since going to the Kirk Hammer, I have no really good AoE.
Yeah.
But so instead, like, my playstyle will be to lead someone away, usually a choke point, bait out that first attack, and then boom, boom, over and over again with the Kirk Hammer.
Yeah.
Pretty effective.
I'm definitely saving up for the Kirk Hammer just to play it, because there's far fewer weapons in this game than there were in Demon Souls, and so I feel like it's actually realistic to play all of them.
And if you really want and you really enjoy the first weapon you have, you could just use that through the entire game.
I mean, my cane is like +4 now. I've been really
My Kirk Hammer is +5.
Yeah,
and I'm almost have enough twin blood shards to go +6.
Yeah, so it's like, but then it's this weird thing where once you invest those blood shards, you're not going to get them back. So you just have to figure out, okay, should I farm to, you know, bring this other weapon up to speed, or should I just keep going with it? You know, it's just hard. It's hard to know. And it doesn't help that the stats are goddamn inscrutable in this game. Like, that's something that they really have not changed. Like, I guess these numbers are getting higher and they're okay, but like, it is not easy to tell what's going on.
I mean, even the defensive stuff.
Like, yeah.
My understanding from everything that I read and talk about with other people who've been playing the game, but that most of it doesn't really matter in the way that it mattered in Demon's Souls. Like, there is defense for slow poison. There's defense for fast poison.
Mm-hmm.
There's defense for slashing, blunting, and piercing attacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what kind of enemy you're up against, then you could change your armor. You could level up stats that might change how that works. There's something like Arcane, right? If you don't look it up online, there's no way for you to know what that does.
Yep.
I mean, I think there's actually you can look at each of the stats and it'll give you a brief sort of description of what it does.
But you don't get a scale. Like, you don't know, like, oh, okay, how much better is 60 than 50?
Yes.
Like, a lot better or a little better?
Yeah.
Like, what is the theoretical maximum? Who knows?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what the scale is. You know?
Sure. I mean, and there's no good way to compare items. Like,
yeah.
Is this hat better than the hat I'm wearing?
I better buy it.
Let me open up both menus and, oh, wait a second, there's like 14 different stats for this hat.
Yeah.
And I think the net is the same, but maybe it's worse, maybe it's better.
Yeah.
I don't know. At that point, I just stopped buying things that I'm investing in, in weapons and stuff. But
I've used it once or twice for enemies that I know I've died to, and I was like, okay, these enemies are always poisoning me, so I'm just going to equip all anti-poison stuff and just see if that helps anything.
I mean, it's pretty inscrutable, but it's weird. It's really hard to evaluate a game like this when you're not sure if the way that the game obfuscates information is part of the world building or not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be unfair to Bloodborne by saying it's really shitty that it's so difficult to connect in multiplayer, because I have to, you know, ring a bell, and then they have to ring their bell, and then together in the same location while both their bells are ringing, there's a 50-50 chance they join my game.
Yeah.
That's really cool lore-wise. A part of me says, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to break out into a menu. I don't have to leave the game and open up a party and then queue into this like weird lobby.
Yeah.
None of that happens in Bloodborne because it's all in game. At the same time, the fact that it's so difficult and that I have to go online to figure out how to play with other people or figure out, you know, what items to buy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was talking about this with Hannah the other day when I was trying to explain why I was playing this game.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, it would be kind of nice if they just had a party system, because like, she was in the living room when I was talking with you that morning over PSN, and we were like, okay, now ring your bell. Okay, I'm going to ring my bell, and we're going to see what happens.
Okay, we're ringing bell.
Okay, get in that other room. Like, so it's like you were saying, it's really cool in game because there's no breaking the fourth wall. Like, you have to use the game's rules to play together. But then again, we could have spent like that extra half an hour actually playing the game rather than figuring it out.
Yep.
And so I was telling her, I was like, you know, I think that's what makes me like the game so much, is that it's uncompromising in that way.
Yeah.
That it's uncompromising in a way that if it left that, it would be a better game, but it would also lose something that's kind of a defining factor.
Yes.
For itself. You know, it would lose itself by removing some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to deal with it. Like, you have to just say, okay, well, this is going to kind of suck, but if it didn't kind of suck in some areas, then I wouldn't be playing the same game.
Yeah. You know? I don't want all games to be like Bloodborne.
Exactly, yeah.
I want Bloodborne to be like Bloodborne.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are, you know, there are moments when I'm playing this game that I'm concerned it might come to a Dark Souls moment where I just give up.
Mm.
8 hours from now, I might be having a really hard time. Everyone I know might have beaten the game already, in all likelihood. I could see myself giving up. I hope I don't. I hope I can beat Bloodborne, and that's why I'm kind of glad we're having this conversation. Because if I don't beat Bloodborne, we won't be having another one. But
so my mission is to force you to beat Bloodborne.
Right. You know, a lot of this is like measuring my patience for how much am I willing to put in any sort of given session, right? There are times when I know, like, oh, it's an hour before bedtime, I'm not going to commit, you know, or every time you approach the game, it's coming at it from a different perspective. I'm going to farm this time, or I'm just going to wander around and ignore enemies to get a lay of the land, or I'm just going to bash my head against the boss, and I know I'm going to die 4 times,
yeah.
Right? There's a big difference psychologically when I say, I'm going to fight a boss and die, and me saying, I'm going to fight a boss in an attempt to win.
Mm-hmm.
I fought that Amelia boss, I think, 4 or 5 times now. Never once did I go in thinking, this is going to be the one where I beat it.
Mm.
The whole time I'm thinking, okay, what are her attacks like? What's her different form?
Mm.
You know, do I need support for this or whatever?
Mm.
At some point, I'm going to take 2 hours out of my day and say, all right, it's time. I'm going to beat this boss, or I'm going to farm and then go and beat her.
Yeah. Right?
All of those are sort of weird psychological places I have to put myself in.
Mm.
And I like that. I think it's really cool. It's something that, you know, I tend to go to work and I think about this game.
Mm.
When I'm not playing, I think about it.
Yeah.
Even when I don't want to play it. Like, there are times when I turn it off and say, I'm not ready for Bloodborne right now, and I'll go do something else, and I'll still be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's asking you to accept it on its terms, and that's such a weird, daring thing to do.
Now. I feel like playing this game it's like this weird alternate universe, from like a mirror universe where like Atari 2600 and NES games became the norm,
yeah,
and never took that side to more approachability.
Well, yeah, I don't know though, because you know, like
this
you
is like if Battletoads was the dominant paradigm. Except it was like that but for the past 20 years.
I don't know about that though, right? Like you look at Battletoads and I get the sense that Battletoads is difficult because they didn't know any other way of doing it. Whereas, like, this is difficult with so much more intent, you know? Like, it's more fair in a way, right? Like, so for example...
But I mean, Battletoads, I still know. It's up 2 times, left, down 2 times, jump, jump. That's the speeder bike race. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you can memorize all that crap. Like, it's just like...
Well, so, like, let's take that Father Gascoigne battle, right? So, early in the game, there's a couple of bosses. The Cleric Beast and Father Gascoigne.
Mm.
Father Gascoigne, as I understand, is actually one of the harder bosses in the game, right?
Interesting.
Now... there's a lot to do in that area. If you want, you could level up, you farm your blood vials and your shards and upgrade your weapons until you're capable of defeating either of those two bosses.
Mm.
In fact, it's even set up so that you don't have to go fight the Cleric Beast before you fight Father Gascoigne,
right?
Which is actually what I ended up doing and getting really frustrated.
Mm.
But, you know, you have that option of exploring the world. There's this window where you can talk to a little kid. He'll give you a music box. And if you use the music box during the father fight, you'll stun him for a brief moment, right? So there's all these little moments that are sort of hidden in the game that says if you want and you take your time to explore and you level up, then we'll make it a little bit easier on you, right? Like, you'll start to understand how to fight this boss. Mm. That seems to me like it's the game doesn't want me to... get so frustrated that they stop.
Mm.
So I almost feel like it's willing to give me more if I bash my head against the wall by saying, well, before you do this, check out this other stuff. Like the forest you're in, right?
Mm.
I can skip Amelia right now and go straight to the forest, right?
Yeah, you could. Well, you could.
Here's
actually
a good example.
Yeah.
So,
no, you could.
Even outside that, the other day I'm exploring around, right? And this is one of the reasons I love Bloodborne is there's so many stories to tell, right?
Mm.
I'm exploring around Bloodborne. I don't know how I got here, but I was clearly in an area. This happened more than once. There's a different story I want to share.
Mm.
But I'm clearly in an area that is, like, higher level than I am.
Yeah.
Because there's enemies I've never seen before, and they almost killed me with one shot, right? I go into this huge cavernous hall. I don't know if you've even been here yet. Huge, like a cathedral-esque circular room. massive. There's no other way out. I have to go into this room because I've somehow fallen down like a cliff face and gotten stuck in this area, right? In the center, there's like a weird like bowl, almost like a nest, right? And there's no way to interact with it. I don't know what's happening. I go and I'm looking around and I see all of these spirits of people who have died. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I go up to the door and this fucking creature materializes out of nowhere. It lifts me up probably like, dude's probably like 6 feet. Sorry, yikes. 6 feet. 6 stories tall.
Yikes.
Huge like Cthulhu-esque creature fucking pops me and I'm dead.
Where were you?
No idea. I mean, somewhere approachable from Cathedral Ward.
From Cathedral Ward. That's another, on a side note, like, the levels are this super interesting mixture of super linear, but also there's a lot of weird side paths that take you around.
Marvelous level design. It blows my mind every time I find a place that connects to it.
It's so satisfying, too, because I was like, oh, here's a shortcut.
I know where I was. Yeah. So, you know when you're in Cathedral Ward and you're going up to where the Amelia, where she's in the church?
Yeah.
If you take a left, you go to the forest.
Yeah.
If you take a right, you go to these like this building area, but you can actually drop off of it onto another area. Then there's like two hunters there that will fight you.
I haven't taken that path yet.
And then even further down, there's like a cliff face that you could sort of drop down, down, down again. That's where I was.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't know if there's a boss. I don't know if I'm supposed to go back there later. The point being is like there are these areas to explore and weird things to experience, even if you're not sort of doing it with intent.
It threads the needle very deftly. Like, it's not a corridor shooter, but it's definitely confined, but it's not an open world game. Like, you definitely have, you know, so, but it's definitely, there are moments where you find that unexpected path.
Yeah.
But there's just, I don't know how they do it, but there's something so satisfying, like, in a weird reptile part of your brain, like, when you find that shortcut through, and it's like, oh, this door connects to the other path, which means I can shave 15 minutes off of my walk time every time I do this. And it's like, your brain is just making all these little pathways, and it's like, oh, okay, now I know, I understand how the geography of this place works now.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing, because the game seems like it would be really complicated to understand like the geography of it, but I can probably draw you a map right now. I can tell you exactly where to go, where I've been.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. Like, even today...
In the absence of a map.
Right, in the absence of a map.
Exactly.
Today I went to the first floor sick ward, which is one of the first places you go to in the game, and just sort of wandered around into Central Yharnam, exploring around. Like, that's so cool to be able to just warp wherever you want in past places you've been and sort of get a mental map of the way that the entire layout of the game is structured.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the reasons why I'm always so impressed. When I open those gates and I go, oh, it's connected here.
This is where I am.
How did you do this? Like, I wanna, like, I wish I could be in the room when they're, you know, boarding or drafting on a board, a whiteboard, like the layout of Yharnam.
Yeah.
Because that's got to be fascinating.
Yeah. It's the reason why, and again, it's, I don't know, I just keep coming back to it. Like, this is why I appreciated video games in the first place. Just like when I, this is like Bloodborne is one of the reasons why I like video games. And like, I understand like it's colored by the time and place that I started playing video games, but like Bloodborne kind of reminds me of playing the first Legend of Zelda where it just kind of like plops you into the world and is like, oh, go for it.
Pick up the sword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you can go like east and you'll be screwed because the enemies are way stronger over there. Or you could go west and you'll be fine because it's like the quote unquote first area. Like there's just like a there's a freedom to it.
Yeah, and again, I think that the important difference for me is that one is designed because that's sort of what they knew. Like it was designed almost like by accident. In a way?
I will argue the Zelda
thing. Fine. Maybe Zelda. Because, maybe not like, Zelda.
Yeah.
I would argue Battletoads, though. It's probably designed without as much intent as, say, Bloodborne.
Yeah, I mean, a different kind of intent. Like, you have, if you look at things in the context of other games, like, it's kind of like, I think Metroid is another good example. Like, Metroid is a game where it's like, oh, run to the left. What the fuck? This is a video game. Why would I ever run to the left? And all of a sudden, there's a huge place over there where it's like, that's clearly...
I still don't move left. I only take rights.
They didn't have the tools to truly flesh it out until, like, Super Metroid, but, like, you could see the intent was, we're going to create something different from the peers. And it's like, okay, what if that ethos survived all the way up until today? that's the kind of thing that the Souls games give you.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you could go right here, but you'll fight a weird headsman that will destroy you in one hit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
No one's forcing you to do it.
You won't know until it happens.
Yeah.
Like, once you die, you'll go, oh, well, shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just, it's, games as a whole are much more scripted, even the quote-unquote unscripted ones we have.
Yeah.
And this one is willing to forsake some of that stuff. At the expense of a larger audience, right? I mean, like, there's no way these games are ever going to be, like, super, super popular.
I mean, that being said, there's such a cool, vibrant community right now around Bloodborne.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what their sales numbers are, but it feels like maybe not everyone is playing it, but the best minds are playing it right now.
The greatest
minds of our generation are currently playing Bloodborne.
You're destroyed.
And it's awesome. And there's all sorts, like, every day I feel like I'm learning something new about weird metas that exist in Bloodborne, and like weird, you know, the fact that people are trying to break the boundaries and still understand, like, can I turn into a werewolf in this game? What are the mysteries that are hidden in the game?
Yeah.
What are all the references for? Like, there's just so much depth and richness. People aren't even sure if something is like a legitimate hint at some expansive lore or just a fucking troll to mess with you, to make you think that something is important when it's not. Like, there's so much mystery in the game, and the fact that I feel like we're playing in a time where other people are exploring that same mystery, that I can sort of benefit from it, is really exciting. And not in the way that's like, oh, here's a walkthrough and how to beat a boss, but, you know, here are tips and tricks for experiencing and exploring the world in the way that you do.
There's so many times where, like, you said something or I've read something online where it's like, I know for a fact I've been to that area like 20 times.
Yep.
Like, the father fight, there's an item that you can get that will help you in that fight.
Yeah, the music box. Yeah.
I didn't have it. I walked by that place a million times, and then I was just cleaning up afterwards. Like, this was just yesterday, and I saw one of the lamps, one of the lights in Old Yharnam was lit, which means there's a person in there. And I talked to the person, and it was like, oh, you know, if you see my father, like, look at this. I had already killed his father.
You should talk to the them again. I wonder if they would say that you killed him.
I only talked to him after I had killed him.
Oh, wow.
And then he gave me the music box. And I was like, oh. Like, oh. And then I just whistled and walked away
because
I had slain his father. But it's like, it's just, there's so many things that I just walked past a bunch of times where it's like, oh, there was a little hole here through this set of houses that I didn't realize was here. You know, like,
yeah. All right. I'm gonna share one of my highlights because I think it's really cool. So in Cathedral Ward, when you go past the old woman that you could may or may not choose to stay in the cathedral, there's a guy with a big stick, and then there's a dude with, like, a bag, and he hits, like, a fucking train.
Yeah.
Really deadly guy. You fought the guy a bunch of times. You've killed him
every time. That guy is great for farming, because he gives you bloodstone and twin shards pretty much every time.
Has that guy ever killed you?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that guy killed me the first time, and he kidnapped me.
What?
He so it says, like, you died. I was like, fuck, okay, man, I died.
Uh-huh.
And then instead of waking up in Cathedral Ward, you, like, groggily wake up in a fucking jail cell. And you're like, what is happening right now? I had no idea. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? What is happening? You go downstairs, like, there's a woman crying. And then you go upstairs to leave.
Uh-huh.
And there are enemies everywhere that are so hard to fight. So, like, there's this creepy, like, old lady.
Mm-hmm.
I see this quick movement past the door like a horror movie, right? So I peek out to the left, and then this woman grabs me from the right and just slits my throat.
Cool.
In a really terribly grotesque way. Almost kills me. I fight my way through all of this stuff. I end up fighting a boss that there's no way I'm supposed to be fighting this boss right now. I summoned a friend to help. We almost killed it. It was just crazy. Like, I didn't know what I was doing there.
But how did you escape? Because, did you escape?
So we were talking at this time.
We're on the phone.
And I was freaking out. And I ran outside, and there was, like, a pig out there. I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. I can't escape. Whenever you take the thing that says
there was a pig outside.
A huge pig.
I wonder if I'm getting to the place where he took you.
Is it outside?
Because
there's like a big, and there's dogs over there?
I don't know if there's dogs, but I was destroyed. Fucking, this fucking pig. Like, I was so far. I had 40,000 blood.
Oh my god, that hurts so bad.
And I was sneaking up on this pig, and I smashed him in the butt.
40,000? How did you not just go home at that point?
I was too far.
Oh, you didn't know where the torch was?
I didn't know, yeah. I was wandering around this forest for hours, like, and then I was... it was going to be such an easy fight. And then something happened. I got caught on a rock, and the pig just does this belly flop on you. That's an instant kill.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, that's enough bloodborne for me. Yeah,
thank
like,
you very much. Yeah. Yeah, so I ended up running outside.
I wonder if that's where he was. I wonder if that's where that jail is, though.
So I died a bunch of times. I went upstairs, and I finally found a lantern.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I got the fuck out of there. Yeah. I asked one of my coworkers too, and he's like, you need to leave. Like, you need to get out of there. Like, that's a high-level area. Wow. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay. Hmm. So anyway,
so that
I bounced.
Guy's never attacked, and that never captured
him. I mean, you should just let him kill you, just to see what happens. Like, it's fucking nuts. And the fact that there's... Like, I don't know what's going to happen next, right? Like, even dying isn't a normal, assured thing. So it's just so cool. Like, you know, I'm always wondering, like, what comes next, you know?
I'll do a couple stories. First, there's a detail that I like. So this is basically the first game on the PS4 that I've spent any real time with. And so I'm always in the back of my head evaluating, okay, is this like the next gen? Is this what's happening right now? Like, and
the game looks gorgeous, by the way.
It does, but it grows on you. Like, when I first played it, I was like, this basically looks like a hopped up PS3 game.
Sure.
And then like the more little details I notice, like the blood.
Yeah.
Like, because I have the whip, blood's always, like, splattering around.
Right.
And so when I hit something...
Oh, like walls and stuff?
Yeah, the blood, like, splatters across the ground and up the wall. Like, you can tell where I've been fighting because there's, like, splashes.
Oh, like lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Considering I just crush things with a huge hammer, there's just a big old splotch.
I know,
on the
yeah.
ground.
So it's like, oh, there's all these, like, little tiny details that are extremely intricate and, like...
Right.
Especially in the forest, like, the closest I can describe it is it kind of feels like a good version of Metal Gear Solid 3. Like,
right.
Like there are places to hide, and like there are enemies that definitely use camouflage, but because of the geometry of the world and like how grass moves, and like it's very subtle, but I can tell like where they're putting their horsepower.
Interesting.
In. Yeah. Anyway, so my two stories. One is not that spoilery, so I can never tell when the game is really saving.
Yep.
And sometimes
constantly is the answer.
Yeah, it is, but other times, like if you close out, it hasn't saved correctly, and so sometimes I put the PS4 on standby mode, but then when I load back in, it says, "Oh, we lost the internet connection, so we're going to kick you out to the menu screen, and you have to re-sign back in."
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always do that for some reason. I don't know why.
Like, I've never had that happen.
So sometimes I've just lost connection to the PSN network, and it's not a bad thing. It just kind of makes you restart where the lantern is. So there was this time where I was like, okay, like, I know if I go out to the PSN menu, I might lose connection, and I don't want to start from the very beginning. There's no way to pause the game.
Nope.
And so I was like, but I definitely have to go get the laundry right now. And
oh,
I was like,
you fool.
Yeah, I was like, Hana, okay.
If something comes
no,
at
no,
me,
no, I told her, I thought, I'm going to give you this controller.
And the responsibility, Scott. Oh, my God.
Like, so, like,
that's like a mother being like, care for this child real
so,
quick.
So I cleared out the entire place. I found like a little hidey hole, and I was like, okay, Hana, I'm gonna give you this controller. If you see anything move, just press the shoulder button as fast as you can and hope that and pray.
Did you teach her how to lock on, at least?
No, that's just a lost cause. Okay. Like, I was like, I'm not gonna complicate things. I'm just gonna wedge myself in a corner, and I was like, if you see anything come at you, just hammer on the shoulder button as hard as you can and pray. And then I ran to the washing machine. I was like, okay, I gotta go.
Did anything come at her?
No.
Oh, okay. Wow. The responsibility.
She said it was like the most stressful thing ever. And I was like, I can't pause this game.
It's like, this bomb might explode.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think anything will come. I think this is a safe place, but there is no safe place. So FYI.
I've backtracked like a good 2 minutes to be like, I need to go to the bathroom.
The other thing that I want to tell you about is there is at some point, is this a spoiler? I don't know. So I'll just tell it. You told me about the bag man. I'll tell you about the, so in a certain point in the forest, there are traps.
Oh, okay.
And,
like bear traps.
More like Ewok traps.
Fucking Ewoks and Bloodborne,
like,
right?
Things will just, like, fly out of the trees and, like, try to hit you and stuff.
Which is a mainstay in Dark Souls, but I haven't found any traps yet.
Well, they're coming. So there was this huge trap that was, it was a, you know, spiky branch or whatever that was suspended on a rope. Again, it looks very much like the Ewoks, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
And so I saw it, though, and I left a note saying, trap up or something like that, and so I was just, like, looking at this thing, I was like, I wonder how you activate this thing.
Oh, right, because you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like the fucking Goonies.
Exactly.
Now.
I was like, I don't know. And so, like, I was, like, circling around it all the while, looking up, looking at the ground.
You know it's going to come.
Like,
yeah.
There's some kind of tripwire. And I saw something that I think, okay, I think this is going to trip it. And I just need to do this. So I did it. I tripped it. I jumped back really quick, and it was great. It just seesawed. It's kind of like the physics experiment where your professor puts a bowling ball on the wire, and it's like, because of this, it will never hit me in the face. And it was just like that. It was swinging back and forth, and then I was just kind of walking off to the side. On the third swing, it detached from the wire. And then I just rolled away, and I was like, oh my god.
And
oh
barely god. Dodging it.
And like it detached and flung towards my face, and then I like walked over to where it came to rest, and there was a bunch of blood stains around there. And I could just, so like I looked at all the spirits, and it was just a bunch of people standing there waiting, and then boom.
That is like, just, hilarious.
You're like, oh, finally, I'm safe, oh god.
I love that.
I wish I had made like a gif of it or something, because it was like, so funny.
I feel like the game was designed with such a keen knowledge about human psychology. Yeah. Like, what is the best way to induce suffering?
It was one of those, like, there's a whole subgenre of gifs on Imgur of like, fuck you, Dark Souls or whatever.
Like, nopes and stuff.
Yeah, it was exactly one of those things. It was just such a great moment, because I knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how bad it was going to be or how to precipitate the badness.
Dude, those Ewoks, man. They'll get you.
Yup,
so
yup.
We should say, we're still really early. There's a lot more Dark Souls to play.
So my mission is to keep us playing it, so I imagine we'll do one more of these, hopefully, maybe two. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to see it till the end, but I fully expect it to take 48, 50 hours.
We should coordinate, because I need help finding bosses.
That's true. Yeah, I have not yet been invaded by a hostile player yet.
I tried to invade someone today. I couldn't find anybody to mess with.
It's so hard. I just remember, like, that happened to me a few times in Demon's Souls. It's super stressful, because you just don't really know where they are.
Well, we were playing, and it was like, an old woman has rung a sinister bell. Yeah. Like, oh god, we like ran away and hid. We're like, what does this mean? What does this mean?
Yeah, it's a pretty special game. I'm glad that they're making them and that they're still iterating.
Yes.
Like, it feels fresh.
And I should say, if you're on the fence about whether or not to play Bloodborne, I would just say jump in, because right now the sort of cultural social experience that's happening is super interesting.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I think we'll leave it there for now. If you want to email us with your tales of woe, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And if you're looking for a safe place to send some innocent bystanders...
Oh my god, that guy is going to turn on you so hard, right?
Well, there's two. Like, I started sending people to the sick ward.
The sick ward.
Yeah, because there's two safe spaces. If you talk to Iofessa in the sick ward,
there's
another place.
I need to re-talk to him then, because her, right.
Yeah.
I have sent two people to Odin Chapel.
The creepy dude?
Creepy dude. The lady and the prostitute.
Okay, so I sent the prostitute to the sick ward.
Okay.
I'm going to send the people I like to the sick ward, and the people I don't like to the chapel.
Damn, I should have sent that stupid old lady to the like,
Anyway, experiencepoints.net, that's like a chapel of sorts.
Yeah.
If you want to give thanks, do so by leaving us a review on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yep. Until next time, thank you everyone for listening. We will be talking to you next week.
Cleanse these foul streets. There's a place you go to, because I drove you there. Well, I took more than I could take. What inspires your game design, Miyazaki? Oh, Scott Jester's dreams.